Sasha crept out of her comfortable bed to pull the drapes in the master bedroom that were preventing the early morning sunlight from streaming in. Sasha had spent the previous night tossing and turning as she relived the past 30 years of her life without Millie. The memories of their life together haunted her sleep. They had survived so many tragedies together, it felt ironic to her that the blood they needed to survive was the catalyst for Millie's death when she drank blood tainted with the AIDS virus. Sasha's dreams frequently ended with the memory of setting the ashes of Millie free in the soft breeze as she scattered them on the grounds of the home she loved. Sasha walked to the bathroom to splash cold water on her face to wash away her tears, then wearily crawled back into her bed, hoping for a few more hours of slumber before she would have to rise in preparation for her arriving guests. For the past 85 years, Sasha Thibodeau had owned Sugarland Plantation, a working sugarcane farm that she leased out to local farmers. Besides this income, the history of Sugarland as a haunted plantation had added to her wealth. The bed and breakfast business had prospered, and there was a long waiting list for reservations, many of which were returning patrons year after year. Sasha seldom traveled far from Sugarland, and when she did, she felt her heart longing for the comfort and seclusion of her home. After Millie's death, Sasha spent time learning about the specters that lingered at Sugarland. Lizette was a 7-year-old child who had succumbed to the same flu pandemic in 1919 that had taken Sasha's mother. Visitors frequently reported sightings of Lizette skipping through the halls or playing the baby grand in the plantoon's ample parlor. Several times as Sasha played the piano, she sensed Lizette's presence in the room and would at times catch a glimpse of the child dancing through the room to the music she was playing. Luscious was a slave who had gone into the bayou to retrieve catfish from a trout line for the master's dinner. When he reached into the water, an alligator attacked him, severing his left arm from his body. Luscious was able to make his way back to the plantation, but died several days later from the loss of blood and infection. Over the years, and especially during the full moon, visitors spotted Luscious walking down the path toward the bayou, or roaming through the cane fields. Finally, yet importantly, was Joshua. Joshua, a beautiful young slave, was hanged from the old oak out front when the landowner caught him in a compromising position with his daughter. Joshua was only 16 when he died for his indiscretion. Visitors had seen Joshua sitting under the oak where he died, weeping for his lost love. Of all the ghosts, Sasha felt closest to Joshua as she understood the pain from the loss of a loved one. Sasha felt at home with these specters, however, at times, she longed for companionship. The loss of Millie kept her secluded from the outside world. She doubted she could survive losing another lover if she would search for someone to share her life. Instead, Sasha preferred to dream of Millie and the love they had shared. Sasha detested the fact that she still had to feed on humans from time to time to continue her existence. The network, a specialized laboratory in Atlanta, was working to create a liquid serum to replace the need for vampires to feed on humans to maintain their existence. However, the progress on perfecting the serum was painfully slow. Sasha and Millie had started the serum years before, but it was not enough to prevent the need for feeding completely. Maybe, if the serum had been further developed at the time, it would have prevented Millie from being infected. Instead, she suffered the horrible disease that took her from Sasha. The network's efforts were gallant, but the hunger still burned deep within Sasha. The synthetic blood the network had developed could not satisfy the lust for human blood that made her nights unbearably restless. Sasha would battle the hunger until she could no longer tolerate the pain. She would then surrender and set out to hunt the bayou, to feast, on a lone poacher, knowing the carnivorous denizens of the swamp were more than willing to dispose of the corpse to prevent detection.